Hello, welcome to Math for Knitters for June 25th. My name is Lara, and I'm your host. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about money, and a little bit about socks, and then I'm going to respond to some of the comments and emails I've been getting, and I'm also going to look at some higher math. This is the 12th show, and let me just say that I'm tickled pink to have gotten so many comments and emails with suggestions for the show or with your own take on the way to do things. And for me, that's really the pleasure that I get out of it, is seeing that the show is helping some people or just giving you something to listen to while you're driving or doing the cat box or cleaning your house, which is what I'm doing when I listen to podcasts. And let me just say that I do not think there can ever be too many knitting podcasts. So if you want to do one and you need a little help getting started, feel free to email me and I'll help you as much as I can, or point you to other people who know more than I do. And yeah, do it, because it's fun, and I think that there are as many podcasting voices out there as there are knitters, and I just don't want to ever run out of podcasts to listen to. And it looks like there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of them. There are over 30 in the list that I look at, but a lot of those have faded or have reduced their frequency for the summer. So, you know, jump right on the bandwagon. We're all here. Also this week, if you've been looking at the website, which is math4knitters, that's the number 4.blogspot.com, I have added a tip jar. It's not the usual PayPal tip jar. It's actually through amazon.com. I just decided to use that instead. So if you feel like it, I'm certainly not requiring that you give, but if you want to, please feel free. And what I'll probably use it for is to fund me buying more books or different kinds of yarn and then telling you about them. So that's all I'm going to say about the tip jar. Okay, so today, actually I thought that today I would do kind of a clearinghouse of different comments or emails that I've gotten, because I do tend to answer them directly, but that doesn't mean everybody gets the benefit of that particular question. So first of all, somebody after last week's show, she said, and I didn't write down who said what, so I'm sorry if I don't mention your name, because I won't, but about converting sock patterns from top down to toe up. And basically what I would do is just decide what kind of toe and what kind of heel I want to make and disregard the patterns, toes and heels. And then if there's a stitch pattern or a colorway or a striping that I like, I just kind of draw it out on graph paper and work it the way that I like from the toe up. If you're using a stitch pattern like a cable or a lace, you might want to see what it looks like upside down. Some patterns look different upside down. So you could either have a picture of it and turn it upside down, or make a gauge swatch and have a look at it in the way that it's going to go on your foot and decide if you still like it. So that's pretty much that. I was also asked this week if there is any geometry in knitting. One of our listeners, one of us, is about to take a geometry class, and I would like to start out by saying, I almost failed geometry in high school. The only reason I didn't was because a friend of mine pulled me aside at the last minute and taught me trigonometry at lunch, and another friend helped me through my finals by just sitting me down and teaching me geometry. There are some teacher-student combinations, in my opinion, that just don't work. When my teacher was at the board drawing normals and doing what she felt was explaining the problems, all she did was make it more mysterious to me. And it took someone who I knew well, who knew the way that my thought processes work, to explain it to me better. And so for me, algebra was always easier than geometry, and calculus, strangely enough. And my friend, the friend who taught me geometry, said this too. He said, calculus for some people is easier than geometry. It sounds crazy, but calculus gives you another way of solving the problems, which are for some people easier. And for me, it definitely was easier. So if you're really having problems with any math class you're in, seek help. It doesn't mean that you're stupid. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It's just your particular interface with that particular teacher may not be ideal. So speak up, seek help. Don't decide that you're bad at math or that math isn't for you. It could just be that teacher isn't for you. And I'm not trying to go to reduce how wonderful and important math teachers are. They're fantastic people, most of them. And just like any teacher, they're very dedicated to their work. Teaching is much harder than what you have to do in the classroom. any of my friends who teach or have taught have told me this. So I'm not being down on math teachers. I love math teachers, but there are certain students who, through personality or just learning style or a class that's too big or a class that's too small, simply can't always learn in class. I could not learn calculus in class. I had a teacher who was kind enough to give me his lunch hour to teach me calculus. So maybe I just don't do well with math in a classroom environment, but you have to find your own way. And I firmly believe that every human individual has the ability to do math if they are introduced to it correctly. So don't give up on yourself if you're having problems with it. Okay, so that's my little spiel about geometry in knitting. I believe that you can see applications and geometric shapes in knitting, especially if you look at things like, like metered squares or diamonds or tessellated shapes. If you Google tessellated knitting, I think you do find some pretty cool stuff, although now I have to do that because I haven't done that. And I'll do that, and if I come up with anything, I'll put it on the show notes. I'm curious to see that. I know there is a baby blanket with tessellated fish, which really isn't applicable to geometry. But in terms of illuminating geometry in any deep way, I don't know if I've ever seen that myself in knitting, except for doing right triangles and putting two right triangles together to make another shape. But for me, I'm still formulating for myself a theory about row gauge versus stitch gauge in terms of angles. And I haven't really hammered that out. But when I do, I will share it with you. I feel like it's just outside of my reach right now, but I'm working on it, so we'll see how it goes. I just need to do lots of experiments, and I haven't had time yet. Okay, also, I was asked about specific yarn, needle, etc. combinations for my sample numbers, like the sock I gave you last week with the short row toe. Now, if I don't include those numbers, it's because I want you to work the equation or the system I'm giving you using your own numbers. Knowing my numbers and aping what I do, I don't feel is very helpful, because I'm knitting to fit my feet with my gauge, with my yarn, and I want you to knit for your feet with your gauge, with your yarn. So I'm not trying to sound like a jerk, but if I don't tell you, it's because I don't think that that is necessary to the understanding of the problem. I know some people learn better through example, but I think if you really do the worksheet out the way that I told you, then you'll learn a lot more than if I tell you that my gauge was this or that and my needles were this or that. It, which leads me to my next thing about knitting too tightly. Another email, she said that I my gauge is never correct. It always comes out too small. What do I do? Well, your gauge with your needles will vary. And if you are trying to use a specific yarn for a specific pattern, and for instance, your gauge is coming out at 5.5 stitches per inch when it should be 5 stitches per inch, the solution is to use a larger needle. So that's kind of one half of the problem. The other half is if you say knit too tightly, if you're really struggling to make those knit stitches, that is not healthy for you, your yarn, or your knitted object. You really should concentrate on relaxing. It sounds kind of like an oxymoron, but just relax. When I was first knitting again, I knit so tightly and so determinedly and so hard that I actually scratched all the paint off of the tips of the number 8 needles that I had. And now you look at them now, they look like a dog got to them. thank goodness I wasn't using plastic. I would have just broken the needles. Oops. But if that's happening to you, it's really, 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 really dedicate yourself to trying to undo that. And when I was teaching people how to knit, I tell them, you know, you're going to feel inclined to be in control of this process, and that may cause you to yank on your working yarn to make it tighter. And in my opinion, this is only a good technique if you're working in something that doesn't give, like linen or cotton, because in those situations you do kind of need to tighten up on it to get it to be even. But wool, acrylic, mohair, any fiber with some spring or give to it really needs to not be yanked on like that. And that for me was making my stitches too tight. And so that then the next row you had to really dig in. And for some people, this starts off as a problem with even the cast on. So you might want to try a new cast on, which will give you a little more breath in that first row. I really like the two long tail cast on, also sometimes called continental or German cast on. And I think that there are instructions for that at knittinghelp.com. And if I'm wrong, I will correct myself on the show notes and give you an alternative for that. I'm pretty sure about that, Knitting Help. So that might help you out. Also, remember to relax. You might try different needles. You might try a different kind of needle, like a wood needle. Or, you know, who knows? It's just one of those things. Knitting too tightly is something I think a lot of beginning knitters do. And then as you become more confident or try new materials or just relax a little bit, your gauge tends to change and you tend to knit a little looser. So, you know, if you've developed the habit of knitting tightly, try to break it. Another thing some people do is sometimes if you're knitting, you may not really be pushing the new loop on your knitting all the way onto the right-hand needle, which makes the loop smaller. So you might think about making sure that you're really using the whole width of the needle and not just the tips. So, okay, I sound so bossy today. I'm sorry. I guess I'm not used to feeling like I'm giving advice. So I'm sorry if I sound too bossy. I'm just trying to help. Another listener also left a really a site I haven't looked at yet, but she said that rather than best book buys, she actually prefers something called addall.com, and I'll have a link to that. And then all the way back in episode 10, I was talking about ease, and I mentioned Knitwit, Carrie from Knitwit, and she emailed me and reminded me that she did mention how the thickness of the yarn affects gauge. I just forgot that she said that. So also, she would like to point out that her 20th show The story was very sad, and her stories usually aren't sad. They're usually funny. I find her completely hilarious. And so if you went and heard that and thought it was really depressing, please give her another chance and listen to a different show again, because I just think she's a hoot and really fun to listen to. She also sent me a link to a Discover website, a story that was done in May of this year about a crocheter named Diana. I'm going to mispronounce this last name. I think it's Taimina, or yeah, it looks like Taimina. But really interesting, kind of hyperbolic crochet, which I don't crochet, but it's very pretty and kind of a higher math sort of thing. Which leads me to the website that I have been waiting to profile for a while. It's by a mathematics teacher named Sarah Marie Belcastro, and I'll have a link to the show notes. And under, on the main website, under the section called Other Pages I Maintain, is her mathematical knitting. And she wasn't in the five college system when I was there, but she's there now, so I'm very happy that she gets to live in that part of the country, which is so beautiful. I'm talking about the five college system out in Western Massachusetts area. I went to Amherst College, and I think that she's teaching in that area now. I think it's Smith. But when I was a senior, I don't know if I told you this story before, but when I was a senior in college and getting my physics degree, I found her website, and I actually knit little Klein bottles off of her pattern as gifts for each of my professors. And I did it on double pointed needles, and I did a lot of it in class. And at one point, one of my professors stops and looks at me, and I think, oh no, he's going to ask me to stop knitting. And he saw how when you're using double points, they all kind of stick out like a porcupine. And he looked at me and he said, "My God, I could never do that." And I was like, "Okay, thanks." And I think I've mentioned the really fun German professor that I TA'd for when I was in college. His name was Professor Martini, Karl Martini. And he only answered to Karl. He wouldn't let you call him Professor Martini. I don't know why. But I handed one when I'd finished it to Carl, and he was looking at it, and he said, "What is it?" I said, "It's a Klein bottle." And he's like, "Well, what's that?" And I was like, "Well, it's a three-dimensional object with one surface." He said, "That's impossible." And I said, "Well, put your finger around and look." And he did, and he said, "Well, son of a bitch." And it was just kind of a bright moment for me when I was very, very stressed out, have kind of a light moment in my life. So that's the show today. A little short, but hopefully covered a lot of bases. There will be lots of links in the show notes. Let's see, anything else? I haven't been knitting on the sock, the sample sock, because I'm making hand towels for my grandma's birthday, which is in July. And also, next week I may or may not have a show because I'm going out of town for work from Tuesday to Friday, and then I'm going out of town to see my family from Saturday to the 5th, whatever day that is. I think that's a Tuesday or Wednesday. So there may not be a show next week, and I will see you. I may do a very, very, very short one, but if not, I will see you all in 2 weeks. Happy knitting!